Tonight we're going to read the Word of God in John's Gospel, chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we'll read at verse 66. John chapter 6 and verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. We'll end our reading at verse 71. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts. We will look to the Lord as we come now to the message. Our loving Father, how we thank thee for the wisdom that flows from the sacred page. We know that thy word brings our hearts and minds from the ways of the folly of this world to wisdom's ways, to the way of godliness, to the gospel, to the way of life, the way everlasting. And we pray that this night there will be a shaft of gospel light and truth that will shine in to the heart. We pray that the right spirit will be put within. Pray that there will be a work of the Spirit in regeneration and the bringing of souls to an end of themselves, and to make the work of the cross their foundation for eternity. Breathe upon us then by thy Spirit, and bless thy word, and prosper it in the thing whereto thou hast sent it. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. John chapter 6 and verses 68 and 9. Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Wherever the Lord went, great multitudes were sure to be found. Some swelled the numbers because of ulterior motives. They were there solely for the loaves and the fish. Others were attracted by a love for some new thing. The miracles, the signs wrought, held them spellbound. On the occasion of our text, the preaching of Christ separated the precious from the vile. His preaching had the effect of separating the wheat from the chaff. Those who were mere professors, they judged the Lord's sayings to be hard, and as a consequence, they walked no more with him. They went back. The Lord turned to the 12 and put the searching question to them, Will ye also go away? That question ignited a fire that burned in Peter's bones. Full of fervor and feeling, he responded, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, we believe, and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew that the Lord's is the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. To turn away from Christ would be to turn to perdition, to turn to the blackness of darkness forever. Peter knew that only the Lord can meet you and I in our sin at the point of our want. Peter's reply, "I trust that all who are without Christ will make it their own. I pray that you will turn tonight, not from the Lord, but to Him with your whole heart. You will believe and have the assurance that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only Savior of the soul." Notice, first of all, the quest pursued. Having been probed by the searching question, "Will ye also go away?" Peter went straight to the heart of the matter. He was in a quest for eternal life. This was the essence of his reasoning. He knew that only the Lord has the words of eternal life, and that eternal life is the all-important, the crucial thing. Here is what every soul in this gathering this evening ought to pursue wholeheartedly. We all have various wants, different needs. But here is the great equalizer among us all. All of us stand in need of eternal life. Your soul and mine has an eternal existence. The Lord taught that men are able to kill the physical body, but they are not able to kill the soul. The soul of mankind has an eternal existence. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, explains that the dust, he's speaking about these bodies of ours, the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, the soul, shall return unto God who gave it. Eternity awaits the soul when the tent of clay, the tent of our bodies, is taken down. Eternity, stupendous theme. Compared with it, our life's a dream. Eternity, oh, our awful sound, a deep where all our thoughts are drowned. But an eternity there is of dreadful woe, our joyful bliss. And swift as time fulfills its round, we to eternity are bound. What countless millions of mankind have left this fleeting world behind. They are gone, but where? I'll pause and see. Gone to a long eternity. Redeemed soul, with joy look up. In Christ rejoice. Your glorious hope, the everlasting bliss secures. God and eternity are yours. The return of the Spirit, the soul to God, is not always to the blessed hope. In Luke chapter 16, Lazarus, after he died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man, his spirit returned to God to hear the words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you."
The rich man, his lost soul, is in eternal torment. Proof of the reality, the wages of sin is death. Not merely physical, but spiritual death. Banishment to a lost eternity. A true employer is duty-bound to give the employee his wages. Your sin, if it is not put away, pardoned, forgiven, it will pay the wages of eternal destruction. Because God is holy and just, every transgression and disobedience must receive its just recompense of reward. Since that is so, you ought to be in a quest for eternal life. This step from time to eternity, you may take it, I may take it, before this day is out. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, tell me then, where will your soul be in eternity? In the unending existence of eternity, where will you be? Oh, consider earnestly what you must do to be saved from the guilt and the power of your sin. The quest pursued. But then we see the question pondered in verse 68, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? To what teacher? To what creed? To what system of religion shall we go if we forsake the Lord, the fountain of living waters? If you will have none of Christ, the Son of God, to whom then will you go? Will you turn to infidelity and adopt the creed which is so popular today, there is no God? Will you seek to put out the light of divine revelation, poke fun at the hope of the Christian, laugh at the very thought of death, of judgment, and of a future world? Sir Francis Newport, the head of an infidel club in England, he did all of those things. He was bold in his infidelity all the days of his life. But when he came to the border of eternity, to his deathbed, those gathered around, he said to them in bitter regret and remorse, "You need not talk to me that there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his angry presence. You need not tell me that there is no hell, for I already feel my soul slipping into its flame. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know that I am lost forever." Will you turn to infidelity? It is the fool who proclaims the creed, "No God." Will you turn to morality? Attempt from dawn to dusk to live an upright life, to be charitable, kind, and neighborly. You will try to build a ladder by your works. You will add rung to rung until the last one you believe will reach to heaven. All of your morality amounts to climbing up another way. And those that do so, the Lord said, they are thieves and robbers. In an orderly society, thieves and robbers are tried and sentenced and condemned. Oh, it is vain for you to turn aside to your own works. Romans 3 and verse 20 makes it plain, for by the deeds or by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is our schoolmaster to teach us that we must be saved not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot work your soul to save. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works. It is the gift of God. Do I hear someone say, I will turn to religiosity. I will be baptized. I'll take communion. I will observe all the rules and ordinances and ceremonies of the church. When you come to appear before God, he will ask you as he asked the people of Judah in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 12, who hath required this at your hand? God will not require religious rites and ceremonies when you stand before him. Remember Judas Iscariot? Yes, he was one of the 12. He had a most orthodox religious creed. None of the others suspected him of being the betrayer of Jesus Christ. He had an impeccable religious profession, but the root of the matter was not in him. He was not a Christian. The Word of God says he went to his own place. He perished despite his religion. To whom shall we go apart from Christ for eternal life? There are none to whom you can go. None among the sons of men. None among the angelic hosts. None can with Jesus Christ compare. There's none so powerful and none so fair as he. If you turn away from the Son of God, you will forsake your own mercy. God is merciful to sinners for the Lord's sake. That's the teaching of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the only basis on which your sins can be put away. For Christ's sake, in the light of his sacrifice, God can deal with you in mercy. Turn away, and God must deal with you in wrath and judgment. Then finally we come to the truth proclaimed in verse 69, where Peter says, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He could not bear the thought or entertain the notion of turning away, for he knew that the one in whose presence he stood is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The name Christ, often used in blasphemy, it has a significant meaning. It means the anointed one. It was the custom in Old Testament times to set apart kings to their office, to their throne, by means of anointing with oil. And in the councils of the Godhead, from all eternity, God the Father set apart His only begotten Son to be the only Redeemer of sinners. Christ was set apart to bear away our sins at the cross on the cruel tree. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, he tells us that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The apostle goes back in history to that night down in Egypt when the angel of death was due to sweep through and smite all the firstborn. But the head of the house, he could take a lamb without blemish, sacrifice it, shed its blood. Take that shed blood and strike it over the lintel and put it on the doorposts of his home. And the blood so applied, it was the salvation. It was the salvation, the life of all within. Where the blood was supplied, the angel of death had to pass over. And Christ is our Passover lamb, sacrificed for us. There were not many found worthy to pay the price of sin. Unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. There's just one, just Christ, the Son of the living God. What amazing love that God should deliver up His well-beloved Son to the sufferings, the physical and the penal sufferings of the cruel tree, that we might be saved, that we might be right with God, that it might be well as we were singing with our souls. The day Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, he trusted in Him, in the work of His cross. He believed in Him to the salvation of his soul. He was sure. He testifies here in our text, we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He alone has the words of eternal life. Oh, if you're not a Christian, make haste to Peter's Savior. Trust now in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Eternal life will be yours. You will never perish, neither shall any man pluck you out of the Savior's hand. John 17 and the third verse tells us this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Oh, I pray that this night the root of the matter will be in your heart, that it will truly be well with your soul, and you will not go away from a meeting like this still not saved, still not prepared. The Bible tells us that David prepared abundantly before his death. The context is speaking of the gathering of the materials for the building of the temple. He prepared all of those materials, accumulated them, the wood and the stone and so forth. He prepared abundantly before his death. Oh, that spiritually you would prepare to meet your God. And all the preparation that is needed is in the Son, the one who bore the sins of the many to the cross. Oh, may you flee to him, and then it will be well with your soul that will never die. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy in life, happy in death, happy in eternity. May the Lord bless his word to every heart.